This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Sitting in today for Tony Perkins are FRC's own Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow of Policy Studies, and Chris Gasek, Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs. They are two of the foremost Christian experts on social policy in the United States. Welcome to the show, Peter and Chris.
And welcome to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I am not Tony Perkins. As you heard, I am Peter Sprigg, a Senior Fellow in the Policy Department here at Family Research Council in Washington, along with my colleague Chris Gasek, another Senior Fellow in the Policy Department, and we're having the pleasure of hosting together all this week in Tony's absence.
We're just jolly good fellows. We're
<That's right.
laughs> exactly. Whatever that means.
And we have, as always, a couple of interesting stories and interesting guests that we're going to talk about today. I do want to let you know we will be taking calls in the third segment of the show today. That's begins around 42 minutes after the hour. And the number, if you want to write it down, is 888-589-8840. If you're interested in joining in the discussion, you have a question or a comment on one of the topics we discussed today, let me give you that number again. It's 888-589-8840. Now we're going to go to our first guest today, however, is Jonathan Sines. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. he is the president of Texas Values, an organization that advances family values in the state of Texas, the way we try to do here in Washington at Family Research Council. Jonathan, are you with us?
I am. It's great to be with you. You got the pronunciation dead on.
Okay.
Well, we have our own signs over here.
We have an
Albert. So.
It's a little inside joke because our producer in the studio today has the same name. By the way, I don't know if you're related, but
yeah. Well, there's a select few of us that have the Z factor, and many of us are from Texas.
Right, and he's a Texan. So.
Oh, okay. Well. We want to talk today with you about an ordinance that has been proposed in San Antonio that's gotten quite a bit of attention in the conservative media because of how dramatic, really how draconian this particular ordinance is. Now, it's presented as a non-discrimination ordinance, but Jonathan, why don't you describe for us what that ordinance involves and why it's drawn so much attention?
Yeah, it's non-discrimination, I guess, unless you're a Bible-believing Christian,
right.
Or particularly if you're somebody that actually cares about the free speech and you think you have your right to an opinion. People are rightly concerned about what's going on in the city of San Antonio, a place where people know the Alamo. The Alamo is a Catholic mission. I mean, there's so much religious imagery and religious culture and religious expression throughout the city of San Antonio that it's hard to imagine if you were going to do something like this anywhere that you would do it in the city of San Antonio. And that's why so many people are concerned. And a lot of this is being pushed or being supported by the mayor of San Antonio, Julian Castro. And so a lot of people feel like this is kind of some of the, attacks on religious liberty that have come from Washington trying to be infiltrated and put into Texas. And so the big problem is two reasons why there are problems with this ordinance. Number one, the ordinance really attacks the freedom of religion and free speech when it comes to so-called discrimination acts. And so, and it applies to any prior act. So if you are a person who has ever said by word or deed, or actually is how it's phrased, any time in the past, before this ordinance went into place, you demonstrated a bias, as it's worded. And so essentially, if you've ever opposed homosexuality by word or deed, if you've said anything or done anything to show that you're in opposition to the homosexual lifestyle, you won't be able to participate in city government. You can't be appointed to city council, and I don't even know if they'll let you be on the ballot to run for city council. That's one thing. And it's not just people of homosexuality. It's people that define themselves by a new category that we're starting to see people push under the category of gender identity, whatever that means. There's really no workable definition. That really means how people feel one day to the next about their sexuality. In addition to that, if you want to do business with the city, if you're a private corporation or a private company and you want to do business with the city or the city government, you're going to be banned from doing that unless you also go along with this new policy as well and have that in the type of way that you do business. Otherwise, the city's going to prevent you from doing that as well. And the reason people are concerned is because it's very clear that very often in a church on Sunday or any day during the week, you're going to have Bible-believing Christians that are going to be discussing these matters, talking about what the Bible says, and expressing their disagreement or their differing view from the homosexual lifestyle or the bisexual lifestyle or different varying degrees of gender identity expression. Right. That that are in conflict with what the Bible teaches. And so you've got some fundamental principles here, and this is a violation of free speech and a violation of religious freedom. And there have been a lot of constitutional scholars that have weighed in. I'm an attorney myself. It's not hard to see why this ordinance has a lot of problems.
Well, thank you. Yeah, let me just read some excerpts from the ordinance itself. Now, we want to emphasize this has been this is a proposed ordinance. This hasn't actually been adopted yet. Is that correct?
That's correct. And in addition to that, well, I'll let you roll it out and then we'll talk more.
Okay. The part I think that has drawn the attention is it has a section on appointed officials, boards, and commissions. So these are boards and commissions that might be appointed positions within the city government. It says, when making appointments to boards and commissions, the city shall not discriminate on the basis of race, color, national origin, religion, sex. Okay, those are the sort of the standard categories of protected categories for most non-discrimination laws. Now, this adds sexual orientation, gender identity, veteran status, age, or disability. But the key ones that come in conflict with Christian values are those issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. Sexual orientation meaning, primarily to protect people who are homosexual or bisexual from discrimination by people who, like the vast majority, are heterosexual. And then gender identity, which is not what sex you are, because we've already mentioned sex. That's a separate category, whether you're male or female. But gender identity is whether you feel male or female, whether you identify yourself as male or female, regardless of what you actually may be biologically. Just in case our listeners are not familiar with this terminology, this is what gender identity means. It's designed to protect people who are biologically male but want to pretend that they're female, or vice versa. They're biologically female and want people to treat them as though they are male. And we are supposed to simply accept this. Now, this is problematic enough on its own level.
Right.
I mean, because one thing I always try to explain to people, don't want to take up too much of your time, Jonathan, with sexual orientation and gender identity, you know, it's conservatives who are usually accused of legislating morality. And what we have here is the left legislating their own immorality, if you will, actually seeking to punish people who hold traditional moral values that say that that, you know, sex should be confined to the context of marriage between a man and a woman, and who believe that you should retain the gender identity consistent with the biological sex you were given at birth.
Now you got paragraph B too.
So that's bad enough. But then paragraph B
is the real kicker.
Is the really unprecedented part. I've never seen anything like this before. It says no person shall be appointed to a position if the city council finds that such person has, prior to such proposed appointment, engaged in discrimination or demonstrated a bias by word or deed against any person, group, or organization on the basis of one of these protected categories. So if you have ever It's not just that you may not engage in discrimination while serving on this city board. It's that if you have ever engaged in what they consider discrimination, not just in deed, but in word.
But also is it engaged in discrimination or demonstrated a bias, whatever
right.
that means,
yeah.
by word or deed against any. I mean, it's
so if
it's
you
breathtaking.
Have ever in your life said anything negative regarding one of these protected categories, including expressing a traditional moral view that regarding sexual conduct or regarding a person's the difference between male and female, you are forever excluded from appointment to city office. I've just never seen anything like that before. Jonathan, are you aware of any precedent for anything like this?
No, I'm not. I mean, and that's why there's so much concern. I mean, the city of San Antonio, culturally and personally and business-wise, thrives on the religious culture that exists. It has such a backdrop in the Catholic faith, specifically a denomination that has been very clear about the teaching of the definition of marriage and about purity issues and about rejecting homosexual marriage. And so, you know, there are so many people that live in that community that are concerned and rightly shocked by this. I think it's very clear this puts in place, if not a direct, a de facto religious test to be a part of government. And so, that is clearly unconstitutional. And it's a principle that people exist, but it's flipped it. You know, usually you'll hear people saying, well, we shouldn't say that someone has to be a Christian in order to have good values to run for city government or any level of government. You can't have a religious test. Let's not use that criteria. They'll tell us that sometimes. Don't be a one-issue voter, right? This does the opposite of that, but still has the same effect of saying, essentially, if you have a religious belief that does not agree with homosexuality, then you're barred from being a part of government or being participating. That's the same type of religious test. And so, you know, people in Texas care very much about their constitutional freedoms, and being able to express yourself freely is at the top of that list, right along with their freedom of religion, particularly in the city of San Antonio. And we can just see it now. I mean, we've got members of the Texas legislature and the Texas House that currently serve as pastors of their church. That's not uncommon for that to happen. And so I can just see now people sneaking into churches, using their phones to take videos. And we actually had someone who ran for State Board of Education recently in one election. And part of the reason that people used against him to oppose his reelection was he said something in a Sunday school class about his views on the Bible. And they used that to really try to shame him and discourage people from voting for him.
Well, it's amazing, and we're certainly hopeful that this will be defeated. Do you have any idea, has the city council responded to any of this attention that's been focused on this?
Yeah, here's a key point. Every Wednesday for the next 3 weeks, the city of San Antonio at around 5 o'clock allows people to sign up to let their voice be heard. We don't know for sure when they're going to vote, but when the city council votes, and here's this, it'll be on a Thursday, possibly later this month, maybe towards the 1st of September. But if you go to txvalues.org, there's plenty of information there for people that want to take more steps and have their voice heard on
Perfect.
This issue.
Perfect. That's just the kind of action step we need. Thank you, Jonathan Sines with Texas Values. And we have a break coming up. We'll be right back after this break.